Welcome to Gospel-Centered Living, the radio ministry of Christ Community Church in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like information about our church or would like to download any of our messages, our website is ccctucson.org. We hope you'll worship with us on Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or join us on Wednesday nights at 6:30 for Bible study. We pray that today's message will help you grow in your relationship with Christ and in the knowledge of His perfect Word, the Bible. Let's join Dr. Stephen Ingino, the lead teaching pastor of Christ Community Church, for part one of this message from God's Word.
Police officer pulled the driver over and asked for his license and registration. The man asked, "What's wrong, officer? I didn't go through any red lights. I certainly wasn't speeding." And the officer said, "No, you weren't, but I saw you waving your fist as you swerved around the lady driving slowly in the left lane. And I saw you shouting at the driver of the truck who cut you off, and how you pounded your steering wheel when the traffic was jammed." The man said, "Is that a crime, officer?" The police officer said, "No, but when I saw the 'Jesus loves you and I do too' bumper sticker on the car, I figured the car had to be stolen." No one likes hypocrisy. It's like a boy named Bobby. He attended the dedication of his baby brother in church, and on the way home after the worship service, Bobby started crying uncontrollably in the car. His father asked him, "What's wrong, son?" And Bobby said, "The pastor made you promise that you'd raise us in a Christian home." And his father asked, "What's wrong with that?" And the boy cried, "I want to stay with you and Mom." Well, as humorous as those stories are, we know that hypocrisy is no laughing matter to Jesus. Some of his strongest words of judgment and condemnation are reserved for hypocrites. And this morning, we're going to see a stark contrast between those who care more about what people see than what God sees, and those who care more about what God sees than what people see. We'll see an example of false spirituality and true spirituality. In the church, there are those who live for the applause of men, and there are those who live for the approval of God. And in this convicting passage in Mark 12, Jesus will condemn the fake spirituality and greed of the religious leaders, and he will commend the genuine commitment and generosity of a woman, a widow. So let's take a look at man's masquerade and the Messiah's math to see what it really means to know and follow Jesus. Mark chapter 12, verse 38. In his teaching, he was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now, to give you some context, Jesus is teaching in the temple in the final days leading up to the cross, and he makes this public statement to warn the people about the corrupt religious leaders. They are the blind leading the blind. And so Jesus is warning the people that the leaders are hypocrites and the religious system that they're a part of is devoid of truth and spirituality. What Jesus says here is a condensation of what he shares in an entire chapter, a denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23. There, Jesus condemns the scribes and Pharisees in probably one of the most scathing passages in the Bible. About eight times, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," which was like calling condemnation upon someone, or at least warning them of God's judgment to come. Jesus said that the leaders were two-faced hypocrites, and they used their religious face to mislead people for selfish gain. They were false prophets who deserved such judgment because of their pride and greed and deceptions perpetrated in the name of God. Well, let's see in detail what Jesus was warning us about. Verse 38. In his teaching, he was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers." So Jesus begins with a warning. Beware of the scribes. Beware of false teachings. Be on guard against those who come in the name of Christ but are really messengers of Satan, 2 Corinthians 11. Remember, the scribes or rabbis were Torah scholars and experts in the oral traditions of Judaism. And yet, Jesus says, don't listen to them. Beware of them, because their prideful, hypocritical actions reveal that they don't love God. They only care about themselves, their image. In fact, everything in this description has to do with someone's reputation. These people didn't care about God's glory. They only sought their own glory. They want to be noticed by their clothes. They want elaborate greetings in public. They want seats of honor in the synagogue and banquets. And they pray just to appear spiritual or holy. Pride and pretentiousness always go together. And even the part about devouring widows' houses is commenting not just on their greed, but their desire for money so that they could gain more prestige. Talk about being self-centered and self-righteous. The scribes lived for the applause of men and even prayed not to talk to God, but to appear spiritual. Their sinfully deceived hearts are an example for us to avoid. But before we cast stones at them, let's not forget that these same prideful actions and attitudes can be seen in Christians today. For instance, do Christian women ever want to be noticed by their clothes, drawing attention to themselves either immodestly or pridefully? Ouch. Do they care more about what people see than what God sees? Do we want seats of honor to appear special, or do we pray in public to appear spiritual even though we don't pray at home? Pride, the desire for prestige, and the pretense of spirituality is alive and well in the church. It's the masquerade of man. We put on a mask to appear one way in public or on Facebook or in church, but Jesus knows our hypocrisy. He knows it's just a mask if we're not being sincere, genuine, honest, and authentic. When we care more about what people see rather than what God sees, we're in danger of being judged or disciplined by God. Why? Because we're seeking our own glory rather than God's glory, and God says that he will not share his glory with another, Isaiah 42:8. So now that we're all thoroughly convicted, let's see what these scribes actually did, which earned them Christ's condemnation. And as we do, the Spirit will probably bring to mind ways for us to avoid similar pitfalls. Jesus points out 6 prideful and hypocritical issues which we must be aware of in our lives or the lives of others. So take a look at verse 38 again. In his teachings, he was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers." First, Jesus says, "Beware of these spiritual leaders who like to walk around in long robes." The scribes or rabbis wore white linen robes with white symbolizing purity. The robes were supposed to just be worn in the synagogue or temple for religious duties, but the scribes wore them in public too. They dressed in lengthened prayer shawls that they wore all the time to appear spiritual. And as Jesus says in Matthew 23, they lengthened the tassels at the end to appear more devout and to be noticed by people. The law commanded that they wear tassels in Numbers 15 to remember God's commandments, but they lengthened them out of pride and pretense and for prestige. It would be like if we had choir robes and people wore them not just for the choir, but they wore them to work. That's what the scribes did. They wore these white robes that were designated for the temple or synagogue only, and they wore them everywhere else too. I found out this week during my studies that most Jewish people wore colorful robes in the time of Christ. They would look like us right now, a mixture of blue, red, brown, green, you name it. But the scribes would never wear normal colors. They would always wear white robes to stand out and to try to look pure and holy and special. They've forgotten what God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7. Remember, Samuel was sent to anoint the next king. We know that would be David. But listen to what God says when Samuel thought David's older brother would be the chosen one based on his appearance. 1 Samuel 16:7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" The scribes wanted to be singled out with their white robes, not in order to serve people, but out of vanity. Now, if an Anglican priest wants to wear a white collar or a Presbyterian minister wants to wear a robe in order to let the people know he's there to serve, great, go for it. John the Baptist wore distinct dress, and so did other prophets, to let people know that they were called by God to proclaim his word. But if our clothing is used to take attention away from God and to call attention to ourselves for selfish, prideful, or vain reasons, then we're falling into the error of the scribes whom Jesus condemned. If we're seeking to find our identity in our clothes, then we're not resting in our identity in Christ. Now, do I think it's good to wear your Sunday's best out of reverence for God, or to show that worship and worshiping a holy God is more important than a business meeting or a wedding that we dress up for? Sure, that's just my opinion. What God looks at is the heart. Philip Ryken writes this. Take a look at this quote. The scribe's outward appearance was really only a cloak for their hypocrisy. This kind of posturing is tempting for all of us, which is why Jesus tells us to beware of the scribes. Some people find their identity in what they wear. If only they had the right clothes, then people would think that they were cool, or that they were in style, or that they were successful in business. Other people find their identity in their social status and being recognized for who they are. Businesses try to capitalize on this mentality by offering preferred seating or VIP parking or platinum service, anything to make their customers feel that they're getting ahead in life. How deadly these attitudes are in the church, where we still face many temptations to Pharisaical pride. How far this is from the example of Christ, who set aside the glory he deserved to serve us to the very death. I mean, think about the irony. Man exalts himself to the place of God, yet God humbled himself to the place of man. God humbled himself to take on flesh and die for us, but we pridefully exalt ourselves to the place that only God deserves. So religious hypocrites are often obsessed with appearances. Why? Because when the heart is not right, when there's something wrong on the inside, you seek to cover it up on the outside. Hypocrites are not only obsessed with appearances in this masquerade before men, but they have a passion for status. Look at Mark 12:38 again. He was saying, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. The respectful greetings, the chief seats and places of honor are all about a sinful desire for status or prestige. The respectful greetings in the marketplace refer to a tradition which said that the people had to rise when they saw a scribe or a Pharisee. That's why the scribes wore white robes. They wanted to stand out on the streets and to be shown lavish respect in public. One commentary I read said that the scribes demanded that people kiss their hands when they greeted them. The Talmud tells us that two scribes complained that someone greeted them in the marketplace saying, "May your peace be great," and the scribes complained that the man didn't add, "My masters." The scribes cared more about their reputation than about God or his people. And do we care more about what people see than what God sees? The chief seats in the synagogue is something that you may have seen in a church growing up or still today. In many churches, the leader would sit on the platform facing you, facing the back of the worship center. It's pretty weird that as you're singing songs of praise to God, they're looking at you instead of facing the same way as you toward the front. The scribes did the same thing in Jesus' day. In order to look spiritual or to receive recognition, they'd sit in the front of the synagogue facing the people during the worship service. These seats were in front of a box or a chest which contained the scrolls, the Hebrew scriptures, which added to their status. So instead of sitting with the people, they sat in special seats to make themselves stand out. In the synagogue, there were benches on the sides of the building for some, but most people sat on the floor while the leaders sat in these special seats. And Jesus condemns this selfish, self-seeking, showy behavior. Why? Because whenever we want prestige or popularity, we inevitably detract from the praise that God alone deserves. If we're too concerned about appearances or status, we're not finding our identity in Christ, but in ourselves, and that well always runs dry. If we're constantly seeking to impress others, that means we care more about what people think than what God thinks. Don't take my word for it. That's what God's word says. Look what the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's one or the other. So Jesus says in Mark 12:38, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and they like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. The scribes weren't content to receive special recognition in the synagogue. They also desired that at banquets. The people were taught that if you wanted to have a blessed event, you had to have a scribe there. They were given the highest places of honor, even over the aged or over the host's parents. Now, it's likely they jockeyed for respect because the scribes weren't paid. They were dependent on donations or hospitality from the people, but they got greedy. So they somehow taught the people that if they wanted God to bless them or their banquet, they had to invite and support the scribes. But in actuality, they just wanted symbols of respect and status because of their pride. So Jesus warns us about hypocrisy and being obsessed with appearances and prestige. But next he warns us about ruthless greed. Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes," verse 40, "who devour widows' houses and for appearances' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." The scribes devoured widows' houses, widows who were most vulnerable in that culture. Widows were often helpless in ancient Israel, and the scribes squeezed every dime out of them. It's not hard to find modern-day examples of this on TBN, where TV preachers prey on people, and they claim that if you send them money, God will multiply your bank account, or if you buy a prayer cloth from them, God will heal your disease. These kind of religious manipulations have been going on for centuries. And Jesus condemns it and the scribes not only for their vanity and hypocrisy, their pride and their greed, but for abusing the most vulnerable in ancient society. The scribes were the dominant force in Judaism, not only theologically, but socially and legally. These scribes or rabbis acted as lawyers and judges because they were considered the experts in the law of Moses. And their views affected every aspect of life, and they handled most legal matters, including property, estates, and contracts. So the scribes devoured widows' houses. They took advantage of the widows' hospitality, cheated them out of their estates, mismanaged their property. And according to the Talmud, the scribes took widows' houses as pledges for debts that the widows could never repay. Since scribes acted as estate planners, they would prey on an older widow whose mental faculties were declining and would have them sign over their estates to them. They cheated them out of their estates, devoured their houses. The vulnerable widow would ask the scribe, the lawyer of the day, to protect her estate, but the scribe would charge exorbitant rates and then say that the house was the widow's pledge for the debt of his legal services. She would pay the scribe to protect her home, and the scribe would trick the widow into paying him with her home. It was a horrible and sinful and manipulative scheme perpetrated against the most protected group in the law: widows, orphans, those who are often marginalized. And if you remember, in the series entitled Justice is Grace, we saw God's heart for the widow in the Old Testament and the New, from Exodus 22 to Deuteronomy 14 to Psalm 68 to Jeremiah 22 to James 1 to 1 Timothy 5. God's justice demands that we protect those who could be marginalized, like the widow or the orphan. But the scribes were doing what God condemned in Isaiah 10. Look at Isaiah 10, verse 1. "Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions, so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights, making widows their prey and robbing the orphans." God tells us in Isaiah 1, verse 17, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause." The scribes should have been defending the widows, not devouring their houses. And in the New Testament, James 1, 27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." Maybe James says, "in the sight of our God," as a contrast with those who do things in the sight of men. And on top of all this, the scribes did their evil work under the guise of religion. I mean, it's one thing to just steal from someone. It's another thing to steal in the name of God. Let's read the whole paragraph again, noticing this sixth abuse. In his teaching, he was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." You see, the scribes didn't pray to talk to God, but to show off. They prayed not to be heard by God, but to be seen by men. Phony prayers, which did nothing but dishonor God. J.C. Ryle writes this: "No sin seems to be regarded by Christ as more sinful than hypocrisy." I mean, he says they're going to receive a greater condemnation, right? "None certainly drew forth from his lips such frequent, strong, and withering condemnation during the whole course of his ministry." Why? Because through hypocrisy, the poor were exploited, God was insulted through phony prayers, and that would ultimately be a stumbling block to others. How many people say, well, I can't believe in Christianity. Look at so many hypocrites in the church, right? It can be a stumbling block. The scribes deserve a greater condemnation because robbing the poor and the grieving under the guise of teaching God's principles and doing so in God's name compounds their guilt. If Jesus said the two greatest commandments are love God and love people, the scribes violated these commands to the uttermost. They failed to love God by stealing glory from him through their hypocrisy and their lust for prestige and power. And they failed to love people by taking advantage of the widows, the most vulnerable in society, because of their greedy hearts. And Jesus says these will receive greater condemnation, which, along with other passages, shows that there will be degrees in hell. Now, some people say Jesus is awfully hard on the scribes. I mean, he condemns them to hell. Isn't that a bit too harsh? Well, of course not, since as the perfect Holy Son of God, all his judgments are right. But they're also forgetting just how awful most of the scribes were. For instance, Jewish writings tell us that the scribes said that they should be buried in white robes because it proved that by their own doing they were worthy to appear before a holy God, as if to say, I'm worthy by my own merits, by my own works, not taking into account their sin, their need for a Savior. But what's worse is the blasphemous self-righteousness and pride that they espoused. For example, the scribes claimed that there was a discussion, a debate in heaven between God and a group of scribes. They were debating some point, and apparently God could not end the debate. So according to the scribes, God had to summon a scribe or a rabbi to answer the question. The scribes claimed to know more than God. I mean, that's the height of arrogance and self-righteousness. Oh, I can't figure it out, God says. Let's get a scribe here. I mean, how prideful can you be? But this was commonplace. There was a Jewish tradition which said that the scribes were to be given more honor than one's parents. The scribes said that they were infallible. We've seen that before in church history. That's what they taught. They said that whatever they said had to be believed absolutely, even if they said that your right hand was your left hand. When you say that your word is perfect like God's word, you have a problem and God has a problem with you, and you'll be judged according to Jesus. And again, on top of that, the scribes took advantage of widows, the most vulnerable, most dependent, most easily exploited people in Jewish society. There's even evidence that the scribes told widows that they could purchase their salvation, give them money, not unlike the selling of indulgences, which led to the Reformation. The scribes were hypocrites, the antithesis of true spirituality, and they deserve greater condemnation for taking advantage of people spiritually and financially, all because of their desire for prestige, power, and possessions. They spoke in the name of God, but were doing Satan's will, deceiving people, pulling people away from God and true devotion while building their reputations and lining their pockets. They abused their power for selfish gain while pretending to serve God. They were false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing, leading people astray from the truth, which brings greater judgment. One writer shared this great insight. I want to read this quote to you. He said, "What's so bad about the scribes' or Pharisees' hypocrisy? If we think of it as consisting merely in their teaching or pretending one thing while in fact practicing something contradictory, we'll miss Jesus' point. What he criticized them for was that they were using God and the things of God as a means to some other end. That's what was insidious about the Pharisees' example and the scribes' example. Jesus said in Matthew 23:5, they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. Theirs was a problem of priorities. Their first priority was social status, to which end God was but a means. What greater insult to God could there be? Better to ignore him altogether than to exploit him as a means to something else you value more highly." See, hypocrisy can turn our reputation into an idol, sinfully exalted above God. If you seek prestige through religious pretense, it reveals that your idol is you. If you use God to make you look better, then you become an idol. You place yourself higher than God himself. You don't want to glorify God. You want to glorify yourself. Sin really is so deceptive. It can harden our hearts so that we don't even notice that we use church or the things of God for selfish, sinful, and self-centered purposes. You see, the world is a stage, but not for us. It's for the display of God's glory, the only one who deserves all our praise. When we crave the attention of people, we detract from bringing glory and honor to God. Genuine spirituality has the attitude that says, I live before an audience of one. You see, the gospel frees us from living a lie, from hypocrisy or facades, because when we look to the cross of Christ, we realize that Christ died for our sins and our sinfulness so that we can come clean with him.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that today's message was challenging and encouraging for you. If you'd like to visit Christ Community Church, we're located between Broadway and 22nd Street on Pantano Road. Our address is 7801 East Kenyon Drive, 85710. You'll find CCC to be a loving fellowship where people grow spiritually and reach out to make an eternal impact in the world. We offer hundreds of ministries each week to serve and encourage you and your whole family. Service times are 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. each Sunday. If you're looking for a church home, we hope to meet you when you visit Christ Community Church, and we pray that God's grace and peace will be yours now and forever. Until we meet again, stay in the Word, and may God richly bless you as you live a gospel-centered life.